You are listening to the audio from Grace Bible Church. This audio message is a recording from our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you enjoy.
Good morning, Grace Bible Church. All right, well, it is my honor to be here today to share God's word with you, to talk about the will of God and what that looks like. But before we do, I want to do a quick update, just a little bit on youth group and stuff like that. We've been meeting throughout the course of the summer, been having a great time learning more about God, how we can grow spiritually. But also, I'm getting really excited for this fall, for September 10th. Our kids ministry is coming back, our youth ministry is coming back. We're having the back-to-school pizza party, and it's awesome, and I'm really looking forward to that. If you guys remember, I had a new hairdo because of the back-to-school pizza party. I was bald and beautiful for a month. Mike's got the amen. I was called Pastor Mike a couple times, too. It was great. So we have the back-to-school pizza party. We do have a few incentives. Last year, if they got 83 teens, and guess what? They got 83 on the nose. I'm like, how do you do that? You love me that much. You want me to have this haircut. So we have some new incentives, and I asked them what they thought it should be. And they want to shave my eyebrows. I love these teens, and this is how you reciprocate that? We're not doing that, okay? We're going positive incentives, okay? We're not doing downhill. So we'll figure out what that is. But so if you have teenagers, or if you're a teenager here, if you're not coming, you're invited. September 10th, back-to-school pizza party Wednesday. We would love to have you there. Help join our crew. We're trying to get 90, so that's our next number we're trying to get to. So please open with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible with you today, you can grab that pew Bible there in front of you. It should be page 988, and you can follow along with us as we read. But just before we get into reading and hearing from God's word, I have to share with you guys, when I saw that these were the passages that we had for me to share with you today, I got really excited. These verses are some of my life verses, to the point where years ago when we redid our office hallway, we had pictures painted with some of the pastor's favorite verses, and these were mine. These are my verses. I turn around in my office chair, look out into the hall, and I can see these verses every single day, right? And you know what? It's awesome. These are some life verses. This will be easy. No sooner did those words go through my head and my heart, I kind of had an uh-oh moment. Because sometimes what comes across as easy is a challenge. And I apologized to the Lord. I apologized for my pride. And I said, Lord, help me. And I also talked more about it with him. And I started thinking about these verses. And I got stuck on the first verse. I got stuck. I started looking at it in a new light. And it's just two words. Rejoice always. I couldn't stop thinking about those two words. And realizing how easy it was not. And actually, I felt like the Holy Spirit even spoke to me in that moment where he says, yes, easy to say, but impossible without me. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking at these verses, but I want to pray first. I want to pray. I want you to know as well that through the power of God, these verses are possible. They are going to appear hard to accomplish, but with him, it will be possible. So let us go before the Lord and ask his blessing over this time in God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much for today. I want to thank you for the gift that we have of each breath. I want to thank you for the fellowship that we have here as believers to come together to worship you, to sing your praises, and to hear from you today, from your word. And so God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill me, Lord, and that these words that I speak would be ones that you want us to hear today, and how you would have us live differently because of who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, we recognize that these things that are just in one sentence, in three verses, appear easy at first, but Lord, are impossible unless we have you. And I pray, God, that we would experience the blessing of following you today. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so I think we have a lot of parents in this room here today, so I want to ask a question. What are your top three, if you were to try and list them, desires that you have for your kids? Okay? So maybe your kids are grown up and out of the house. That still doesn't change, okay? What are your top three desires for your kids? You know, maybe it's that they would have table manners, right? Or maybe it would be that they eat their vegetables. Maybe it would be that they have the same football team or baseball team that you do, but what happens, right? They pick the other team, right? What would, you know, for me, it's like my, sometimes, you know, right, the desires of our heart is like, I don't really care if they go to college. I just want them to be potty trained. You know, I just want this to be over with, right? I know, I've been changing diapers for 10 years, and it's like, when is this going to end? I'm done. You know, and if you don't know what those top three desires, ask your kids. Your kids will probably have a very interesting view of what your top three desires are. You know, be quiet, go to bed, leave me alone, right? Maybe, I don't know. You can ask them. They can give that. I mean, mine is that my kids would love God, love others, and listen to me. Is it that hard? Like, listen, just open your ears and listen. But at the same time, as parents, we're not perfect, right? We realize this. But at the same time, I think we all have desires, whether we understand that we have those desires or not. But what we recognize is, but think about what happens when our kids, those we love, they don't follow through on the desires that we have for them. Okay? Just think about that for a moment. It hurts our heart, doesn't it? Like, we have a desire for them that is good, that we think is good, and something for them, but they don't follow through with it. And sometimes these decisions that our kids make, they actually hurt themselves, which also hurts us. Being a parent is a lot of fun sometimes, right? It also hurts us. Unless you really love saying, I told you so. I mean, that's the experience of parents. We have desires for our kids. And today, Paul is giving the Thessalonians, these believers, this church, his desire. Gives three desires that God has for them as the children of God. And as children of God, it should be our desire to follow the will of God so that we don't hurt him and so that we can experience God's best for our life. So here we go. Let's look at these three verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. One sentence, three verses, and it is powerful. And it's true. Paul is wrapping up this letter. He's wrapping it up, and he's almost culminizing everything that's happened to this point. And he's trying to give them these bullet points to follow through on, right? But let's say it together, okay? Say it with me. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will. A lot of times people will ask, what is the will of God for my life? And a lot of times we're thinking as an adult, we're thinking, okay, where am I going to work? What is my purpose in life? Where can I serve? How can I invest? Where should I invest? What's a wise decision to make? What's God's will for my life? We see this in young adults and in people going to college in that age. Where should I go to college? What career should I pursue? Who should I marry? We even see this in teenagers and kids. What video game should I buy? I've heard it said, actually. I have. What sports should I play? Who should I date? And I have very strong opinions about that, by the way. You can come ask me about that later. But all of us wonder, what is the will of God? And I love this because God spells it out for us here. And to boil it down, I want to have this one thing that just, I think, covers these verses pretty well. God's will is that we seek his will first and enjoy him forever. God's will is that we would seek his will first and enjoy him forever. And so he gives three desires. God desires that we would, one, first thing, pursue joyfulness. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always means at all times be rejoicing. How many of you, how are we doing? Right? This one's hard. And I realize how this command to rejoice always can be a trigger for many of us. I have talked with some of you before. I have heard your stories. I have sympathized with your sufferings. And you need to know that you're not alone. Every single one of us in here has gone through it, has gone through hardship. And rejoice always just seems like a slap in the face at times. But this life is hard. Jesus never promised that life with him would become easy or carefree. In fact, Jesus says in John 16:33, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Peace? You guys feeling peaceful right now? He just said we're going to have tribulation in this world. But then he also says this, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This verse, Jesus says, there's this promise here. As long as you are breathing, you will face suffering. But as long as I am God, I will overcome evil. And those are the promises that Jesus gives. You see, in this world, none of us are going to be spared from suffering. Sin is real. It hurts God. It hurts us as well. Death, pain, all reasons that make rejoicing always very hard. But Jesus says, take heart, have hope. And this is the hope that he wants to give to us. Rejoice always. How? Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 4 through 5 says something very similar to what we see here in Thessalonians. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Here, Paul spells it out a little bit differently, but says the exact same thing. Reason number one to rejoice is to rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is at hand. He is nearby. He is forever. He is always. And when we stop and we think about God and who he is, his character, that changes things. Because we are redirecting where we are taking our joy in the circumstances and in the things and in the feelings, and we are redirecting it to something that is forever and always. Let's look at the character of God, shall we, for a moment? God is forever and always, and here are four things that we can look at when we are struggling to rejoice. God's righteous character. Think about who God is. He is holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, merciful, gracious, compassionate, just, true, pure, and loving. And I could keep going on with the character of God, right? He is forever and always. He is at hand. And so therefore we have an opportunity to rejoice. Rejoice in God's salvation work, the gospel. I met somebody this past spring. And every single day, he would do something with his devotions. He would spend time reading God's word, but then he would journal, and he would write down the gospel and how he saw it in his life. And he would also write down, a different day, he would write down his testimony to remind him of how he got saved. And I just was baffled by that. One, just because it just felt repetitive, but then two, he was just full of joy. And he had gone through some hard things in his life. But when we remember God's salvation work, it is powerful to change our joy and where it is found. Also, believers' spiritual blessings that we have. Fellowship with other genuine believers. God's provision as he orchestrates in our life. Answered prayer. And then also the future glory we sang about heaven. These are blessings that we have from God. That cannot be taken away and that are forever and always. Also, the gift of God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he just shared this with the believers here. He said, therefore, encourage one another with these words. From the words of God. When things are going crazy and are going all over the place, he says, encourage one another with these words. And in context, he's talking about the end times, and people were freaking out about the end times and what's going to happen. He said, no, there's a plan. God has a plan. It's in his word. Share it with them and encourage one another with these words. So if you are struggling to rejoice, take one of these forever truths and argue with your feelings. Remind your feelings who they are and take them back to the forever truths of who God is. We see King David do this in Psalm chapter 13, verse 1. He says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Sounds like somebody who is a little frustrated. Sounds like somebody who's having a hard time rejoicing, right? And look what it says, the same chapter, verse 5. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation." You see what he's doing there? He's redirecting his focus onto God. He's focusing on the character of God, that he is, that God is, has steadfast love, and that he will rejoice in the salvation that God offers him. As children of God, we are the only ones who really can transcend from our suffering to joy, because we have a relationship with God. We can pursue God and his will. So that's our first point. The desire of God is that we would pursue joyfulness. Let's continue on to the next desire that God has for us in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, some might take this to believe, hey, we're always supposed to be on our knees praying and talking to God. And if we're not doing that, then we're not doing the will of God. But that's out of context, okay? Pray without ceasing literally has this idea of having an open line of communication. Consistent, open line of communication. Now, growing up, I go over to my grandparents' home, and they had the coolest phone. Here's a picture of it here on the wall. This isn't the same one, but it's a lot like it. It was a dial-up, you know, the spinning wheel. I'm not probably even saying it right. Yeah, you got to spin it to get the numbers. It was so cool. I called so many people just to, like, mess with the phone. But, like, they would be wall-mounted in their kitchen. And so if you wanted to talk to them while doing something else, you had to take it off the receiver, set it. How many of you guys remember these days? Okay, good. All right, sure. Whew. Set them off. You'd have to set it down on the counter, and you could still be doing stuff. And those old phones, man, they could be cranked up. Like, they get loud. And so you could still talk to them, and they could talk to you. Now, granted, a lot of times it sounded like a parent off of Charlie Brown. Yeah, sounded something like that. But, like, you could still communicate. Let's bring this up to 2025, okay? As children of God, we have the unlimited data prayer plan with God to talk to the God of the universe. And we don't have an opportunity to hang up. It's just live. And we get to talk to God about anything, everything, whatever. We see this in Psalms 10. 17 through 18 says, "O Lord, you hear the desires of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more." Also in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, after he just got done saying, "The Lord is at hand," he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God promises to hear us. He promises to strengthen us, to give us peace wherever we are, whenever we call, and with whatever we are dealing with. Jesus taught his disciples to pray in this way. He didn't say, "Go to a specific place to pray in order for me to hear you." He said, "Practice anywhere prayer." Anywhere prayer. Let's look at that. Also, this is something from Daniel Henderson in his book, Transforming Prayer. But if you look at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, it talks about looking up with our prayers, looking down with our prayers, looking behind us, backwards, looking in front of us. Okay? I'm going to explain this a little bit more. Think about it, the Lord's Prayer, right? Looking up in reverence. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What's he doing? He's looking up at God and he's saying, "God, you are awesome. You are holy." And talking about the character of God. We need to do that. Take that into our own words. Look up and go, "God, you are awesome and holy." And then he talks about looking down, right? In the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God, as I look up and I worship you as holy and I pray and I thank you for being holy, I look down and go, God, I need you to show up here where I am at, what I'm going through. Respond in how you want God to change this world right here, right now. Then looking back throughout the course of your week, looking back over the course of your life, what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Look at the needs that you have and say, God, I need this for today. I ask in your name. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. God, I did not do a lot of rejoicing yesterday when I got stuck behind the person doing 15 in the 35. Forgive me for that. Whatever it may be. And then look forward. And the prayer says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Looking ahead, you know what's coming. Some of us. Maybe you don't, but say, God, I today this is going to be hard. I need strength today. I need your joy today. I need peace today to go through this. Keep me from sinning. Keep me from the evil. And that is a way that we can practice prayer anywhere. Okay? Prayer is supposed to be genuine. It's supposed to be personal. It's supposed to be consistent. And the challenge for us this week is to try this prayer anywhere. Okay? Try it as you're getting ready for the day. Try it in your car, on your way to work. Keep your eyes open, though. Okay? God can still hear you with your eyes open. Hands on the wheel. Good. Okay? You don't need to do this. God can hear you. Pray. Okay? Try it in the closet. While you're playing hide-and-seek from your kids. I mean, with your kids. You should probably tell them you're playing hide-and-seek when you go into the closet. Where's Mom? I don't know. Yeah. Use it when you get ready for the day. So much so, try it in your house. Try it with a mouse. Try it in a box. Try it with a fox. Try it in a car. Try it in a tree. Prayer is so good. So good, you see. You see... Just so you know, that's not original, so anyway. You know what? Funny thing about that book, okay? How long does it take Sam I Am's friend to actually get it, right? To try it and then love Green Eggs and Ham? How long does it take us to realize prayer is so good? It's so good for us, and we hold off on it, and it's our last resort, right? When it should be the very first thing we do. Next thing that Paul talks about that would be the desire of God's heart in 1 Thessalonians 5 is verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pursue thankfulness. To give thanks in all circumstances. I was on vacation a couple weeks back, and I was helping my father-in-law fix something. Long story short, I'm kind of embarrassed about how this happened, but I got super glue shot back at my face. It was enough that was like, oh, okay, cool, now what? So I took off my glasses and just instinctively, you know, oh no. And after I got them detached from my shirt, you know, and put them back on, I realized it was like looking through a windshield in February after you haven't scraped it, you know? And so I'm like, great, I'm on vacation, I don't have my second pair of glasses with me, I didn't pack them. And so needless to say, I was frustrated. You know, I was not doing a great job of being thankful in that moment. But also it opened my eyes to be able to think about the people in life who don't have the opportunity to have glasses like I do. Like people in third world countries. Or this first century church. I mean, we just kind of take for granted, right, the ability to be able to see. But how many of us in this room need glasses, had eye surgery, or use contacts? Just raise your hand real quick. Yeah, a lot of us, all right? Can you imagine being in the first century church and getting this letter and saying, give thanks in all circumstances? And you're like, can you show me that? Hold on. Because you can't see, you can't read. Like, the fact that we even have these is like really awesome. and something to be thankful for. But I have to ask a question. I was thinking about this a little bit more. Do you think in the year 2025 we have gotten more thankful or less? Think about the time frame that you've been alive. Do you feel like we have gotten more thankful or less? Less. I would agree with that. Even with the advance of cell phones and technologies and doctors and medicines and eyeglasses and all of these things, cars and transportation, flying and all of it, like, we're still not thankful. Why is that? Well, I have a theory, and I want to share it with you. In Scripture, we see that human beings are created in the image of God, which means we are image bearers, which means we have a very distinct and unique purpose from all the other creatures that God created, is that we were made to show off how awesome God is. Okay? But when we complain about our life, our world, we are not fulfilling the will of God as He just articulated to us. If we are not fully, we are not following God's will. If we're not following God's will, then whose will are we following? And whose will are we fulfilling? Who smiles when the image of God, when the image bearers of God, the ambassadors of the good news of the gospel, complain, grumble, and criticize? Whose will are we accidentally accomplishing? Unfortunately, it's the enemy of God. And now we know this to be true, but we still need to hear it. He cannot have us. If we are children of God, He cannot have us with Him in hell one day. That we can praise God for. But listen to His plan. So instead, Satan will do anything to make us look miserable so God looks undesirable. So there is a war of wills here. God's will for our life and Satan's will for our death. And when I got super glue on my glasses, I not only thought about the people who don't have glasses need glasses, but I realized I do need to be giving thanks, because if I wasn't wearing glasses and I had super glue shot back at my face, it probably would have gone in my eyes. And you just pause for a moment and think about that. What happens when you get an irritant in your eyes? Oh, no. Oh, no. Can you imagine going to the doctors like this, the hospital? Hi, I've got a problem. Like, I don't know, that's where my mind goes. But, like, we have many reasons, even in hard circumstances that we have in life. Like, these are the same glasses, by the way, that got super glue on. Guess what? Vinegar somehow... soak it in vinegar, it takes off super glue. Don't know who figured that one out, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful they figured it out, and now you have that for free. There you go. See, Paul doesn't just want us to look at the silver lining, though, of every situation. He wants us to look at the perfect plan of God. Okay? Hard verses as well, Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. He doesn't say all things are good and cheerful and happy, okay? He says all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. To quote a former pastor of mine who was a little Southern, okay? He was a pastor in Pennsylvania, so I don't know why he came up here. I think he came to help, you know, convert Yankees, I think. So that was part of his point. But he had an interesting definition for... defining the word all. And he said it something like this. All means all, and that's all means, y'all. All means all, and that's all means. When we look at all things, God works all things together for good. It then gives us the opportunity to give thanks in all circumstances. And this doesn't mean we can't cry. This doesn't mean we can't experience loss or discouragement, frustration or depression. Because here's something else that I just love about Scripture. It reveals the heart of God. Look at John 11:35. You thought rejoice always was the shortest verse? This one is. Jesus wept. This is in context to Jesus walking with Mary and Martha as they go to the tomb of their brother who's been dead for 4 days, Lazarus, who is also Jesus' friend. And people saw Jesus weeping and they questioned his deity. They said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? And now at the tomb, Jesus and the followers there, with tears in his eyes, he instructs that the stone be rolled away. And then I did not see this before until this week, but then I knew Jesus prayed, but listen to his prayer, okay? Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus is overcome with emotion that he weeps, but then he goes to the Lord and he prays and he's thankful. But then we also see what happens next. He commands Lazarus to come out of the tomb, and then we see Lazarus, once dead, coming out in his grave clothes, bound, but living, breathing, and alive. See, Jesus was overcome with emotion. He wept. He experienced sorrow. He sympathized with our pain and discomfort. But he also took that suffering and overcame it and used it to thank God. And why? So that those around could believe that he was Jesus, the Son of God, that God had a plan. You know, we are going to be given opportunities to weep as well, to be sorrowful. But when we, in all circumstances, I believe, when we give thanks to God, we are performing a miracle of our own. We may not be able to raise our loved ones from the dead, but our thankfulness will show that Jesus is the Son of God and has power in our lives, and that his plan is worthy of giving thanks. When people ask, how can you be thankful or joyful during this time? We can point back to Jesus and say, he has given me a joy that cannot be taken away. He has given me a peace that surpasses all understanding. And as long as I'm breathing, I have reason to praise the Lord. So I'll remind you of our one thing again. God's will is that we seek his will first and enjoy him forever. And first, I need to share that it would be impossible for us to do God's will if we are not God's kids. Okay? Jesus, in talking with Nicodemus, says this in John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, all of us have experienced at least one blessing of being born physically. But being born as a child of God, you must be born again spiritually. And just a few verses later, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He shares how we can be born again. It is an act of faith. It is an act of acceptance of the free gift of Jesus and the work that he did on the cross, how he died for our sins and rose from the dead. We have to, in faith, believe he is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, ask for that forgiveness, and call him our Lord and Savior. Then, these blessings of being able to take all circumstances and rejoice always and pray without ceasing are possible. Outside of that, it's a hard place to be. And you have a choice today. If you have not made that choice yet to be born again, to receive Jesus as your Savior, please, I encourage you to come and talk to me. I don't want you to leave this place today without having the assurance of knowing that you have a relationship with God, to have these opportunities to do God's will and enjoy him forever. But secondly, I need to remind all of us, this thing that we are talking about here, we cannot accomplish God's will on our own strength. In the same way we cannot save ourselves, we cannot be sanctified or change ourselves without him. A verse that people who frequent the gym really, really love is Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me! It's taken out of context, right? But in context, what he's talking about, all things, in all circumstances, Paul is saying, I have found the secret to being content. It's Jesus. If anyone is going to help us accomplish God's will, It is Jesus. And we need to do what his will says. Then we need to seek his will first and enjoy him forever. Because when we seek God's will first and rejoice always and pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances, then and only then we will be able to accomplish God's will for our life. Then and only then will we be able to make our Heavenly Father proud. Then and only then do we get to experience God's best for our life here on earth and forevermore. So how about it? I know these verses are hard, but with Jesus, all things are possible. So I'd like to invite the praise team up at this time as we close in singing praise. And I want you just to listen to these words as we sing them. I invite you to sing them along. It talks about, in the valley or on the mountain, I will praise. When I feel like it, when I don't, I will praise. As long as I'm breathing, I have a reason to praise the Lord. This is an invitation for us to say goodbye to the old us that would complain about everything, that would try and fix everything ourselves, and say yes to Jesus and let him in so that we can accomplish his will. So let's pray. God, I want to thank you for your word and the faithfulness that you have shown to us. Lord, how you never leave us or forsake us, how you are always ready to hear us, how you have given us all the reason to rejoice no matter the circumstances that we are going through. And God, I pray that today we would take these truths that appear simple on paper but are hard in practice. God, I pray that we would see how true they are and how it changes how we see life, how we live, how we breathe. And I pray, God, that you would be honored and glorified in your kids. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Grace Bible Church. For more information about our church and our ministries, you can visit gracebiblepa.com.